been a whole lot of work there in comparison. And perhaps Ahab looked at that vineyard one day, and maybe he saw Naboth out there meticulously caring for that vineyard and maybe spending some time just doing what you would do as far as to keep that vineyard up. And he may began to think, you know, I bet I could find Naboth something different. I would really like to have that vineyard. After all, it's right next to the palace, and man, it would make a nice addition to my property. And boy, it sure looks like a good vineyard, but I think that maybe I could find something different. After all, looking at that vineyard, it can't be worth much to Naboth at all. But can I say to you tonight that when Naboth looked at his vineyard, I don't believe he looked at it and said it's valuable because it's good for growing things. I don't believe he looked at it and said, well, it's got good property value. And I don't believe the value was necessarily in the land where it sat or where it positioned itself. I believe the value in it was that the fact that it was given to him by God. It had been passed down from family member to family member. And listen, in Naboth's mind, no doubt as a child, as his dad was bringing up, and maybe his grandfather and his great-grandfather were bringing up, maybe they rehearsed over and over the stories of how God had brought their people out of bondage, how he had brought them to this place, and how God had given them the land. And maybe his dad would say, listen, Naboth, this land is sacred because it represents God's covenant to our family, represents God's covenant to our people. Listen, as long as we look to God and as long as we serve the Lord and as long as we follow after him, God will keep us in this land and God will allow this land to supply our needs. It's a picture of God's covenant to his people. And so we see this vineyard here, the idea that the land represented God's covenant to Israel. I want you to turn over, if you would, to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Just before the Israelites were to go in the land, the Lord gives us this passage. The Bible says in verse 1, when the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. But thus shall ye deal with them. Ye shall destroy their altars and break down their images and cut down their groves and burn their graven images with fire. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto him above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath he brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. And again, just reiterating the fact that, listen, as long as the children of Israel would look to God, and as long as they wouldn't make covenants with other people, because, listen, understanding as they came into the promised land, they needed to separate themselves. Realizing God realized if they make affinity with these other groups of people, it's going to drag them down. And understanding that as they came into the promised land, as they looked to God, God would keep his covenant with them. And what a blessing for us to understand that, listen, in much the same way that God redeemed the Israelites from bondage there in Egypt, as they were in bondage there in Egypt, in much the same way as God came to them and brought them out of their bondage in Egypt, and he brought them into a promised land, that victorious Christian living as they look to him. I'm here tonight to tell you, listen, if you're saved here today, God has redeemed you out of the bondage of your own sin. And God's brought you out of that place. And listen, as a Christian, as you look to God, God will lead you in this life. And God has given you a testimony. God's given you a new life. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And praise the Lord, as we live this life, may we understand, just as the Israelites were there in the land of the Canaan land, but it was not their land. Understand this, Christian. The life that you live tonight, it's not your life. It's the Lord's life. You've been given a new life. You don't have possession of that life. Listen, it is not yours to choose to do what you want to do with it. Listen, as we look to our life, may we understand it's not to be sold, it's not to be traded, it's not to be taken control of in our own lives, but it's to be lived here for God. And God's given it to us. May we understand that powerful truth. Listen, just like Naboth had no ownership rights to his vineyard, you and I as Christians have no ownership rights to our own lives. It's not ours to do with what we want to. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? He says, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And I'm here to tell you tonight, if you're a Christian tonight, the day that Jesus Christ brought you out of bondage of your own sin, listen, a sign went up over your head that said, I'm under new ownership. It isn't my life anymore. And if we're under new ownership, listen, the way we live our lives, our testimonies ought to reflect that there's a new owner. It should be so much so that other people, when they spend time with us, when they come around us, they say, there's something different about that person. They don't act like the other people act. In our workplace and perhaps in our neighborhoods and amongst our friends that maybe aren't saved, they ought to look at our lives and see something different. They ought to be able to tell something different about that person. The way they carry themselves, the way they live their lives. They're not living it for themselves. They're living for the Lord. What a blessing for us to understand. Listen, if Christ owns our life, it ought to be apparent to other people. They ought to be able to look at us and see something different about that person. Listen, that's why as a church we have standards. It's why we believe in separation, because we realize there ought to be a distinction, because this isn't my own life to begin with. I don't have ownership rights to my life. Listen, the vineyard may not have seemed real valuable to anybody else. May not have seemed real valuable to those that would have walked past it. And as Ahab looked at that vineyard, he may have looked at it and said, really not a whole lot of value. Maybe better vineyards in town. But understand, to Naboth, it was priceless. Because it had been given to him by God. Represented God's covenant promised to him. And would to God tonight that our testimonies were priceless to us. And we guarded them above all cost. We see here the vineyard. Listen, just as that vineyard was a testimony to God's redeeming work in Israel. And what God had done through the lives of Israel. Listen, as a Christian, your life is a testimony to God's redeeming work in you. What God's done in your life and how he's brought you out of the bondage of sin. And everyone that sees your life, they ought to see a testimony to God's goodness. But I'm here to tell you tonight, beware. Because the devil's out to get your vineyard. The devil's out to get your testimony. And so we see there, first of all, we see the vineyard. But secondly, I want you to consider the offer. Consider the offer there in 1 Kings chapter 21. Look in verse 2. The Bible says, and Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, give me thy vineyard, that I might have it for a garden of herbs, if it is near unto my house, and I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it. Or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. The idea there, the Ahab came to Naboth. He looked at that vineyard. He realized he wanted to have it. And he began to reason with Naboth. Now listen, I really believe that the devil was using Ahab. As you would study the history of Ahab, we understand the Bible says he had done more to provoke the Lord God than any other king. One of the most wicked men that was ever alive. And I believe the devil was using Ahab in this instance to try to get that vineyard from Naboth. And I believe that he used the same tactics that the devil uses. He began to reason with Naboth. Came to Naboth. I imagine maybe he invited him over for dinner, or maybe he came alongside him and put his arm around him and kind of just real buddied up to Naboth there. He said, Naboth, listen, have you looked at the vineyard lately? I mean, it's a nice vineyard after all, but, you know, Naboth, I've got some power around these parts. I'm the king around here. And I've been a lot of places here in Jezreel, and Naboth, listen, I guarantee you I could find a better vineyard for you somewhere. I guarantee if you came with me for a day, listen, we could just do a little trading here. I'll take the vineyard. After all, it's right by the palace. You don't want that vineyard anyway. I can give you a much better place. You'll have more land. I can take something and give you a better vineyard. Or Naboth, if that doesn't work for you, listen, come alongside of me. Listen, if you put this vineyard on the real estate market today, because it's next to the palace, you're not going to get fair market value for that. There's going to be some diminishing values in that neighborhood. And listen, Naboth, I'll at least give you money. If you want money, I'll make you a better price than anybody else. And listen, as he's looking there, he's beginning to reason with Naboth. And Naboth, listen, as he's trying to get him to sell something, I want you to understand, and Ahab was trying to get Naboth to sell something that wasn't his to sell in the first place. It wasn't his to barter, sell, or trade for. Listen, you can, and I can't make a decision to sell something that's not ours. We have no rights to it. I think we've all been involved, or at least are understanding the idea behind a real estate transaction. And behind a real estate agent, there may be one here tonight. And listen, the idea there with a real estate agent, they simply represent a seller. In other words, a real estate agent can negotiate on the behalf of the seller, but they have no rights to sell a house without getting permission from the owner. In other words, no signature, no deal. And I want you to understand here tonight, listen, I find that just as Ahab is out to get Naboth's vineyard, listen, the devil's out to get our lives. He's out to get our testimonies. And you and I better think twice about living life for ourselves. You and I better think twice about giving up our testimony and taking back control of our lives and selling out and doing whatever we want to, because remember, it's not ours to begin with. Just as that vineyard was not Naboth's to begin with, your testimony and my testimony, your life and my life, it's not our testimonies. It's Christ's testimonies. It's a picture of what he's done in our lives. But I'm here to tell you, listen, the devil will come along and he'll reason with us. He'll begin to start negotiations with us. But I'm here to tell you, the devil doesn't have integrity.